Wait, if anyone else joins, we can take care of that later. All right, welcome. This is the November 2nd meeting of the Citizen Review Committee. I am Yume Delgado, I'm the vice chair. I will be chairing tonight's meeting while Candace is absent. We hope she feels better soon. Why don't we start by just going around and introducing yourself, how you prefer to be referred to. And since we're heading into the holiday season, this will be our last televised meeting, our last recorded meeting. Why don't you say one thing that you like about fall or the holiday season? So again, Yume Delgado, he, him. I think I am enjoying finally having some nice cool weather after a very long hot summer and record-breaking temperatures last month. I'm going to popcorn to Taylor, Greg, and Kira.
Hi, everyone. Taylor Snell. I use he, him pronouns. I'm coming to you from Southeast or Selwood. CRC member. I think the thing I'm looking forward to, like also, yeah, I got kind of sick of the higher temperatures like you may. I also am kind of looking forward. I love when people deck out their houses for the holidays. I think it's kind of nice as like it gets so dark. Up, you know, this far north, it gets so dark during the winter. It's kind of nice to see all the lights and stuff. So I will popcorn to Amanda.
Hey, guys, I am my husband is doing a big campaign fund bank tonight and my son is on end of quarter Zoom meetings with friends. So our internet is being tapped. So I'm going to be off camera, but I am here. I'm present. I'm in Southeast Portland. She, her pronouns. I also enjoy the cold weather. I am not enjoying our giant chestnut tree that is dropping all of the spikes all over our front yard. And no matter how much we can scrape it by, but everything else I'm enjoying except for the chestnuts in our front yard. I will toss it to Greg.
Hi, everyone. Greg Griffin here in North Portland. I go by he, him pronouns for the holidays. Going around actually meeting out people to actually eat to new social parties and finding out, you know, and I love giving away gifts. So and Christmas cards. So that's my thing. Thanks. Was I supposed to go to someone else? You, me?
Yeah, that would be great, Greg. And if anyone is joining us in the audience, feel free to introduce yourself in the chat. Greg, I think you're muted.
I didn't say anything. Oh, you okay?
Okay, why don't we go to Jessica?
Hey, everybody. My name is Jessica Katz. I am coming to you from Northeast Portland. She, her pronouns. And I've got to dig deep here. I'm really into like more transitions. Into different seasons, which I feel like we lack. We go from like summer to winter and I have a hard time with that, but I do love the sound of the leaves. And I will pass on to Sylvan.
Hi everyone, sorry for joining late. My name is Sylvan Frazier. I use they, them pronouns. I am in Northeast Portland and I missed what the prompt was for the other question. Is it like our favorite thing about autumn or something like that? Okay. Sorry, I wasn't prepared for this. Instead, I'll share. We do have our in-laws, well, my in-laws, my partner's parents coming for a visit tomorrow and have just finished decorating the guest room in the new house. And I decorated it in fall colors. So clearly I must love fall because we painted it orange and yellow. And I feel like that was a bold choice, but it really panned out. That's all I have to say about that. I'm not sure who has not gone yet since I was a few minutes late. Please jump in, whoever is left.
I think we have Chris, Kira, Kelsey, and David.
I can go next. Hi, my name's Kira Pappas. I am coming from East County, and my favorite part of the fall, having moved here from the Midwest where we have really fast transitions, where it's 1 week where the trees change colors, like in 1 week and then all the trees are done. I really like out here the length of time that the trees all change colors and it's in different rotations. So that's one of the things I appreciate about being out here. And I'll pass it over to Kelsey.
Hi, everybody. Pardon the background noise. I'm Kelsey. I'm with IPR. I use she, her pronouns. And my favorite thing about the fall is also the fall colors on the trees. I've always been a big fan. I grew up in Hawaii. And so any kind of seasons is still exciting to me, even after like 20 years in the Northwest. So I'm into it. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, everyone. I'm Chris Pekarski. I use he, him pronouns. My favorite thing about this time of year is I finally start to get a little adventurous in the kitchen. I have like two things that my family actually wants me to make, and they're right around this time of the year. So today was the first batch of pumpkin chocolate chip cookies, which is, they're good. Oh, they're so good. So that's my thing. And also my wife loves Thanksgiving, and whatever makes her happy makes me happy. And I will throw it to David.
Hi, everyone. My name is David Nguyen. I work for IPR, and I use he, him pronouns. And one of my favorite thing about the holiday is the sales. And I just bought a new house, so I need to start buying things. So, I'm actually looking for a TV right now. So I'm can't wait for Black Friday, actually. So. I think that's all, right?
Yeah, thanks, David. And congratulations to you and Sylvan on your new homes.
Thank you.
All right. So a couple of business items today before we jump into reports here. I think we have three sets of minutes to approve. Did everyone have a chance to read through the transcripts? Okay.
So remember if you were not present at the meeting, you can just abstain from voting.
Okay. So I think, David, these have to be moved, correct?
No, I mean, you can just
call a vote.
Okay. Call the vote, so.
All right. So we're going to start with the April 13th, 2022 minutes. And I'm just going to go down the list here and roll call. Chris, I know you'll be abstaining from this one, and then we'll get to you in the next couple here. All right. So. Let's take a look here. So again, April 13th, 2022, Greg. Sorry, Greg, I think you might be muted.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. You may. I vote aye. Amanda.
Abstain. I was absent.
Okay. Chris, I know you're going to abstain. Sylvan.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Kira.
Aye.
And Jessica.
Aye.
Okay. So that is 1, 2, 3, 6. Two abstentions. All right, moving on to the August 3rd minutes. I guess I should be asking if anyone has any amendments or requests as well. No? Going once, going twice. Okay. Back at it. Greg, we'll start with you again.
Yes.
Okay. I vote aye as well. Amanda?
Aye.
Chris, I don't think you were at our August meeting. Okay. Sylvan.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Kira.
Aye.
Okay. And Jessica.
Abstain.
It's two. Okay. And then last set of minutes, we have September 7th. Any comments or amendments to those minutes? And yes, Dan, it was 6-2, 6 in favor, 2 abstentions on both the last ones. Vadim, welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, so moving into voting on the 9-7, 22 minutes. Vadim, I assume you're abstaining. You weren't at the last minute, right? Greg?
Aye.
I vote aye as well. Amanda?
Abstain.
Okay. Chris?
Aye.
Okay. Sylvan?
Abstain. I was not at that one.
Okay. Taylor?
I also abstain. I was not present.
Kira?
Aye.
Okay. And Jessica?
Aye.
Okay, so we have 4 abstentions and 4 in favor. David, that meets quorum, right? Or do we need?
Yes, we could need a majority up to vote. So yeah, we're good.
Okay, perfect. So I think all 3 minutes have passed. And with that, I believe, well, David, I'll let you monitor the chat. I don't remember when we're not voting or we're not hearing an appeal today.
No.
Okay. So next up, I think we have the director's report. Kelsey, do you have anything to share with us? And Ross has said, I know he's not with us today.
Yeah, Ross had other obligations today, so I'm just filling in. Just a short report today, not a ton of new information. We have finally started making some progress on our transition out of the auditor's office in terms of getting all the administrative stuff set up and established. And we are, it's looking like we're going to be able to start the hiring process as early as next week to fill a couple of 2 of our 3 vacant positions, which is really going to help our staff overall. So that's some good progress on that front. And then the other update is that there was a mediation session last week related to the settlement agreement. Most of the content of that is, or all of the content of that is confidential, but there is a status hearing next week on the 9th in which they'll kind of discuss progress and status of the agreement overall. And that's all day on Wednesday the 9th.
Thanks, Kelsey. I noticed in the director's report that we have 1 subject that remains unnamed, and I think 3 sets of officers. Have we heard anything from the Bureau as to what the status of that is?
Yeah, so for the unidentified subject, I believe they just still haven't been able to identify who that person was. They fled afterwards, is the reporting. So, and as for the unidentified officers, the Bureau has cited safety concerns for the officers in terms of doxing concerns. We're monitoring that situation, but that's the Bureau's position right now, is that they are citing safety concerns for releasing those names.
Have they given us a timetable as to when that information will be released? I mean, eventually it's going to have to go before a PRB.
They haven't given a timetable, no.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Kelsey about the director's report?
I kind of have a general question, Kelsey. I was looking at the numbers for not only just like the intake investigations, which it seems like those are getting processed fairly fast, where it's like the median case age is on like under a month.
Yeah.
And then some of the other stuff. So it seems like cases are coming through, but I keep wondering, from all the 2020 protest cases, I kind of expected we were going to get a bunch of appeals at some point down the pipeline. And I know we haven't had an appeal, and I was just kind of curious if there's like any insights as to why that might be.
Yeah, sure. You know, I think, you know, a lot of the 2020 cases that are still would still be in the process and potentially coming down the pipe for appeal, we're open, a lot of them were open from tort claims, and a lot of those folks don't really engage with our process because they're engaging primarily with the tort claim process, so we don't see as many appeals from those cases. And as for appeals on the ones that have already closed, I think it's probably a variety of reasons that people didn't pursue appeals. You couldn't really speak to one primary reason. I think people tended to sort of disengage in the process throughout, and I think for a variety of reasons, either because the investigations took a long time, some of them, you know, as we were kind of working through a backlog of cases. And then I think also just, you know, sometimes people file a complaint and then they think that's all there is to it and don't kind of follow it through to the end, or even if they're notified. So it's sort of generally the kind of thing we've seen.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Carrie, did you have a question?
No, sorry.
Okay, just double checking. Kelsey, refresh my memory. There's a question in the chat here. A P90 or a P192 investigation.
That's we're calling those. It's the paragraph 192 investigations is what that stands for, and that was a paragraph that was added to the settlement agreement, one of the amendments to the settlement agreement following the 2020 protests. And those investigations, the DOJ has asked for lieutenants and above to be investigated for. There's three different categories, but if you look at that paragraph 192 language in the amendment, kind of lays out what those issues are. But investigating. Yeah, lieutenants and above for their various actions in the 2020 protests.
Awesome, thank you. All right, if no one has any other questions, we'll move on to the chair's report, or I guess this is now the vice chair's report. Candace left a couple of notes for me here. Obviously, as we communicated, I think to all of you prior to this meeting, we are kind of trying to take it easy for now. Obviously, IPR is still in transition and has limited resources, and we want to make sure that we're marshaling those effectively. Also want to make sure that we're marshaling your time effectively and making sure that we remain active and ready to go for appeals as they come in and PRBs. I believe our last meeting with the mayor's office was canceled and has not been rescheduled. I don't believe anyone else has met recently with their commissioners. If anyone has an update, let me know. We can fold that into the chair's report here. And then we have been meeting with IPR leadership. So Candace and Kelsey and Ross and I meet once a month just to make sure that everything's up to speed. As I think noted, this is mostly going to be kind of a admin meeting. And then in December, I think we had talked about maybe having an informal gathering for the CRC members in person. So let's take a look here. I guess we might as well jump into that as we enter into new business here. So I do not think we have, Kelsey, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe we're going to have there's any chance that we'll have an appeal in December. Okay. So at this juncture, we don't have a ton of business on the agenda for the remainder of 2022. And I believe the suggestion had been made that we might have sort of an in-person gathering for the holidays. I know some of you have not met anyone on the CRC in person yet. I know, Chris, obviously you're just joining us, and we've been remote for most of the last 2.5 years now. So just wanted to take everyone's temperature on that and see if that is something that we still want to try and schedule for. I believe the first Wednesday would be the 7th.
This is Amanda. I could do it. I know Candace had mentioned maybe a outdoor, like a place with heated outdoors. I'm still pretty COVID cautious, so I'd rather meet in a place that we had some ventilation of some sort. So I don't have any specific ideas, but.
Okay. I know, I think for some of the going away parties, we did one at the Zipper, which is kind of an indoor-outdoor space. That might be an option. But I can definitely talk with Candace online or offline, and we can try and find a place that's going to be offer good social distancing options for people. Does the 7th work for everyone? That would be the night of our next CRC meeting. Okay. All right. So we'll try and get a plan on around the same time. So early evening, Wednesday the 7th, and we'll try and get a location locked in ASAP and get that information out to you. Okay. Moving on to new business, I think there are three things that we wanted to talk about tonight, aside from anything that you all want to bring up. One is just kind of charting the CRC's course for 2023, and part and parcel of that are looking at the activities of the work groups, and also the how we can best assist the Police Advisory Commission. So I guess jumping into that, does anyone have any thoughts as to sort of broad agenda items or things that we want the CRC to focus on in 2023? You know, in the last couple of years, we've put out a couple of reports. You know, we've definitely weighed in during the protests. Now we are, you know, heading into sort of a new phase where obviously our successor body or our supplementary body is going to be coming online. And we want to make sure that we're, you know, doing everything that we can to assist with that process. So I'm going to open the floor. I'm going to mute my mic. And if anyone has any thoughts, anything that they want to put forward, well, let's talk about it.
I guess I'll just jump in and, for 2023, I think focusing on the transition, or, I mean, I guess it could be end up being a, like you said, you may a supplementary body if we stick to the appeals process, but I don't know in terms of a report, but I keep thinking it would be nice maybe for the next body, whatever form it takes, whatever that their processes end up looking like, if we had some kind of, I don't know, like a report or some kind of like information bank or some kind of tangible to give to them on like, hey, here's what we thought worked. Here's what we thought didn't work or doesn't work. And I know we have like a document somewhere in the drive that is supposed to be documenting that, but that could be a project, just kind of volunteering something. But
thanks, Tamar. So kind of a best practices document.
I'd be interested in a bit of a deeper dive into what's currently on the table as remedies when looking at an appeal. So exploring more transformative or restorative practices, and also the idea that the debrief is, just like what could that be that it's currently not. So I'd be interested in expanding remedies, or at least doing a deeper exploration of how those currently work and the limitations.
Thanks, Jessica. I think that's a good idea. I think Kelsey could probably weigh in on this. I suspect that we are probably limited to, in some ways, by our collective bargaining agreement in terms of how much we can change. But that might be a really interesting thing to say for the policy group to kind of spearhead or work on in terms of looking at what those options are, or maybe even a recurring audit. I don't know who would best have jurisdiction over a question like that, but it's definitely something where we could potentially bring in somebody from. Kelsey, would that be professional standards, you think, or would that be internal affairs that would have be able to comment on that?
Good question. You know, for the to speak to the restorative options, there is the option to select a mediation in lieu of an appeal. Currently, it's not an option that many people ever choose, and I think it'd be interesting to sort of explore why that's the case. You know, forced cases are excluded from that option, so that's certainly a barrier. And I think in terms of the debrief, that probably would be best to talk to professional standards about, to see what that process looks like and what might be able to be improved there. I think that would be your best bet.
Yeah, I think specifically I'm interested in the underutilization of the mediation, and what is that like phenomenologically about, and could there be something changed that would make that a more appealing option.
Awesome. Thanks, Jessica. Anyone else have any thoughts or comments about what the CRC should be tackling in 2023? Obviously, this is in addition to the ongoing work that we do interfacing with the city and hearing appeals and staffing PRBs.
This idea is not fully coalesced, but as we, at least those of us who are on the crime control and use of force work group had attended the listening session recently that I believe PSEP had led. There was a lot of community feedback to the effect of, stop asking us to show up and share traumatic stories without any sort of promise of action or any results to come out of that. And just sort of a lot of, I heard a lot of folks talking about how the process was not adequately trauma-informed and was sort of, we keep showing up and telling stories that are difficult to share and then, sort of having to do it again and again. I wonder if there is something that we could look into for just sort of maybe systematizing or institutionalizing some of that community knowledge gathering so that folks don't feel like they're showing up again and again and saying the same things again and again and then, not necessarily having a good experience with that. I'm not sure what we would do to go about looking into that. Maybe it's not really something that the CRC is the right body to do, but that was something that struck me recently, just having attended that session.
Awesome. Thank you, Sylvan. I guess I'll make a last call here for any other feedback about what we should be looking at for 2023. And I think this is a conversation that will continue in January, presumably. But it's good to have some ideas on the in the parking lot here so that we can do some research offline. If no one else has any other suggestions, I think this would be actually a really good bridge into checking in with the work groups. I know that we've had some turnover. We've had a couple people express a desire to either change work groups or step down as chair of their work group. I'm thinking specifically of Julie, who I don't think is with us tonight. So I guess checking in, currently, I think, who's leading recurring audit right now? Kira, is that you?
Yeah, I feel like we need a reset with that. So it's been me and Greg, and then I believe Vadim, but we just need to do an official kind of step in. Greg and I did some work over the summer on it. And then just with not having meetings over the last couple of months, he and I have not been able to connect about what the next steps are with it.
Okay. Do you, I guess I'll open this question, all three of you, do all of you want to continue to work on recurring audit?
I'm good with it.
It's fine.
Vadim, how do you?
That's great.
All right. And I don't remember when you're meeting, but is that time still working for everyone? Or is there a time?
We have not had regular meetings set up. And so I think that that's something that we need to do next between the three of us and then get that going.
Okay. All right. So maybe at the January meeting, we can get an update as to where that is. And I think, David, are recurring audit meetings or not? Are those live streamed?
If you guys are reviewing case file, then no.
Okay. So that may not be.
It's not opening to the public if you guys are reviewing a case file. Yes.
Okay. Perfect. So, perfect. Awesome. Then we'll look forward to hearing back from y'all in January. Who is on the policy team at this point? Because I don't know if Julie was intending to stay on as a general member, but I believe if I'm remembering her email to Candace that she was planning on stepping down as co-chair. David, am I correct in that?
Yeah, it's been a long time since. I vaguely remember seeing something about it.
Is there anyone else who's currently serving on the policy committee or subcommittee?
I'm currently sitting in it. We have not been having also regular meetings, but believe that we are scheduled to have our meeting with Commissioner Mapp's office next week.
Okay. So you are still meeting with you've been in contact with your commissioner, but not with the subcommittee. Okay. It sounds like we probably need some people to volunteer for that committee unless people want to switch from crowd control. Sorry.
And I'm not actually on a committee right now, but I'm happy to volunteer for whoever wants an ugly white bald guy. So,
all right. Well, I appreciate that, Chris. Yeah. So we have, as you've heard, we have recurring audit, which focuses on sort of the process of the appeals. And then we have our policy subcommittee, and then we have our crowd control and use of force work group. So crowd control and use of force obviously focuses more on policies that are specific to those two areas. A lot of that's community engagement. And then the policy subcommittee focuses more broadly on just general topics of police oversight. So body cameras, standard of review, things of that nature. So that might be a good fit for you with your background, if that's something that you're interested in. Otherwise, we're always looking for fresh faces on crowd control. So whichever you prefer.
I'm willing to follow your lead in terms of what you think is a good fit for me. Having not been on any of the committees and not knowing a great deal about them, I would be interested in being put in a place where I would be most useful.
Okay. And those meetings are open to everyone, including the public. I know, Barb, I saw your note here. Recurring audit is not open to the public because of the nature of the files that they review, but crowd control and use of force and policy both have community members can participate in that. Vadim, are you just doing recurring audit at this juncture?
Yeah, I'm backing away from the policy.
Okay. All right. So yeah, Chris, I think we could definitely use your assistance on policy because we have a couple people that were short. Jessica, would you be willing to be our chair for the time being, since you are the ranking member of the policy committee?
Oh gosh. Can I get back to you on that? I'm not totally prepared to say yes at this moment. I'm curious if Julie is remaining on the committee. So it would be Chris, Julie, myself. Is that correct?
Yeah. Amanda, are you on a committee currently?
You know, I thought that the last time, like I've been absent two of the last three meetings, so I thought that I was on the audit committee, but I never followed up. So Kira, if you want to reach out to me, I'm happy to help with that if you need it.
Okay, we can get you on there.
All right. So and Jessica, I know that traditionally policy is met, I think, around during the day. Is that working for you? Or okay, all right. I can try and sit in on some meetings, but generally speaking, during the day it's a little bit harder for me. So, and obviously,
to connect with you, Chris, about what I can offer this juncture, and maybe Julie can as well.
Okay, all right. So I will put a little note here. We'll check in with. We'll check in with Julie and see what her capacity is going forward. And then if that time does not work, please let David know, because that meeting is live streamed. Lastly, that leaves crowd control and use of force, which I'm happy to continue to serve on. Taylor and Sylvan, are you also wanting to stay on crowd control? Or if any of you want to change of pace, you can tell us now.
No, I'm happy to stay on. Scheduling wise, if it could possibly be moved to a night that is not Wednesday. That might work out better for me, but I don't want to rock the whole boat if that would be too tricky. So we can always follow up about that later.
Okay. Taylor, what about you? Do you have any scheduling?
No, I mean, I like Wednesdays, but I'm also flexible. I mean, whatever works for all of us, I'm happy to do. Wouldn't mind a middle of the day one either. I don't know if that works for folks, but.
Okay. Sylvan, did you have a particular evening in mind that might work for you?
I think Mondays and Tuesdays are both typically clear for me. Yeah, I think Monday or Tuesday would be best for me, but I could probably work with almost anything.
Okay. All right. I will check in with Candace and CRC and see what their availability is, and we can revisit that. Okay. So it doesn't sound like we have any upcoming subcommittee meetings just yet, but let's plan on at least trying to have an update on schedules in January. Does that sound good to everyone? Okay. Awesome. All right. I actually do not know where I am in the agenda, so bear with me for 1 second. I think the only other thing that was on the agenda today was the Police Accountability Commission. I don't think we've heard much from our counterparts over there in the last month or so, but I know that one of the things that we talked about the last couple of meetings was potentially creating some sort of document where we can start, you know, maybe sharing information and just kind of coming up with an outline of information that we want to pass down to the PAC as they start thinking about what successor agencies are going to look like. Is that something that we want to work on going into 2023? Okay.
Just have they reached out to us? Is this something that they, you know, are looking for?
That they're asking for? That's a good question. So I think my impression from speaking with the PAC, and obviously I don't want to overcharacterize the couple of times they've come to visit us over the summer. I think they are open to feedback. I think right now they're at a stage where they are still figuring out what kind of feedback they need. I know they're having they either had a listening session or have a listening session, I think this week or the following week. So I think they're still in the early phases of that. But I know Candace and I went to a police advisory meeting over the summer, and they were still really getting a handle on the framework, how appeals work, how, you know, the current disciplinary system works. So I think I'm not sure they know what they, or I'm not sure they know what they need yet to a certain extent. And I think it would be good for us to make sure that we're supporting them. But obviously, you know, at some level, we do need them to tell us what they want. And I've heard that also echoed by, you know, people in the mayor's office and people in city council saying, hey, you know, we can provide resources, we can provide expertise, but we need to know from PAC what they want from us versus what they feel like they already have. So this is definitely something, this was on Candace's agenda items. I am a little less familiar with kind of where we are in that process. So this is maybe something that we should table until the next meeting. But if there's general consensus that it would be a good idea to take a look at this information, we can kind of, you know, reach out and figure out what that would look like. I think at some level we should. I think we should offer our expertise. Obviously, we've been doing it for a long time. Vadim, I know you know PRB is probably better than any person in this body. I don't know that it makes sense for them to, you know, completely reinvent that wheel. We want to focus on the areas where things are inefficient or things can be improved. And I think that's why personally I think we should do it. But, you know, we make these decisions as a group. And so obviously it needs to be something that everyone feels comfortable with if we're going to pursue that. Does anyone else have any, think it's a terrible idea? I think we absolutely should do it. Wants to volunteer to head up that process? Anybody? Okay. So I will talk with Candace and we'll try and reach out to leadership over at the PAC and see if there's anything that they want from us. And then maybe we can come back and revisit at the January meeting. All right, moving on. I think we talked about work group updates. So let's, if you are not meeting in January, at least maybe try and come back to the January meeting with a update as to what that looks like. Any new business? Going once, going twice. All right. If there's no new business, then I think we can open it up to public comment. Does anybody have anything that we need to go over before we do? All right. Greg, are you comfortable doing the recorder duties? Okay. So we have, so please just raise your hand in chat if you'd like to make comment. We have 3 minutes. And David, are you going to promote people or do you want me to do it?
I can do it.
Okay. And I think Dan Handelman is first. If you can unmute his phone. Perfect. Thank you.
Yep.
Good evening. This is Dan Handelman. I use he, him pronouns. Are you all able to hear me now? Great. It's nice to have a CRC meeting to attend. We missed having one last month. The last time you had a meeting, our newsletter, People's Police Report number 87, wasn't ready for the website, but it has since been published. I just put the link in the chat. And I want to say I'm really pleased that the chat was open for the entire meeting after it got opened up. And I'm hoping none of you felt like anything that was put in there was distracting or disruptive. I think that the rule about leaving it closed came from the auditor, and you're not under the auditor's office anymore. So it'd be nice for you to leave that open in the future. One thing I did post in there is a link to a document that the Police Accountability Commission worked on. And I am a member of that commission, but I can't speak on behalf of them. So I'm here as CopWatch. But the document I posted in there is a list of the barriers and best practices in the existing system. So those of you who want to work on, you know, putting forward your ideas to the commission should probably look at that document and see what is already being covered. I'm hoping that the recurring audit group, when they're not looking at case files that are confidential, can be open. That's how that group worked in the past. Like when they were talking about the cases, they talked about them in vague ways. The people's names were crossed out, and you know, things that are eventually going to be in the report can be talked about in a way that can be done in a public meeting. So I really would like to have those meetings be available to the public when possible. I appreciated the committee members asking questions about the director's report tonight, especially questions that I normally bring up about the deadly force cases and some of these timelines. And I was glad you were able to answer the question from Ms. Iona also about that paragraph from the settlement agreement, which I didn't even understand. I know that really well.
1 minute left.
Dan, I think you have 1 minute left.
Okay, I got muted, so that's what happened. So the compliance officer's report that came out a couple of weeks ago, and I hope you all saw that. I sent something to the chair and vice chair about this, that they, well, they made some comments about your meetings, which I'm not going to repeat here, but I hope that you'll look at it and read it and see what you think, whether you need to talk to the compliance officer about it. They said they mentioned that it's being looked at for you all to get staff from the community services division, which is who staffs the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing, and we community members and members of that body have felt like those meetings haven't been going very well since kind of new staff. So I think that you should look into that and find out what you can. And finally, the crowd control directive was up for review this month, and you know, your work group worked really hard on making recommendations around it. I know you didn't have a meeting, so you didn't have time to put in comments, but I'm hoping that you can follow up. And I think it's very strange the Bureau is changing their crowd control policy when that report from the independent monitor hasn't come out yet. And just as a little side note, they renamed the rapid response team into the public order unit, which if you read it as an acronym, it spells poo. So we thought that was kind of funny.
All right.
Thank you.
Kelsey, do you know anything about what Dan mentioned with regards to staffing?
Ross is probably the most up to date on that. With the sort of limited resources that IPR has, and we have had discussions with the Community Safety Division about providing staff support for the CRC along with their other advisory groups that are doing sort of related police related oversight and advising. Those, I believe, they were going to be hiring some new folks over at the Community Safety Division so that they could kind of staff the different pieces of, CRC's work and their other groups, someone to work on potentially on recruitment, and then somebody to just staff the kind of day-to-day. So the last we spoke with them, they were still working on hiring and also sort of division of labor and how that is going to work. So that is the hope, is that they'll be able to, we think it will be helpful to have those committees kind of, staffed in by the same folks, so that if there is cross, like any opportunity for cross work across the committees, that could be more easily facilitated potentially too. But that's still very much, it's just in the works, but that's part of the plan. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Kelsey. Dan, we'll continue to keep an eye on that. I did not have a chance to talk about that with Ross at our last meeting, but it's definitely on our radar. Okay, next, I think we have Debbie Iona.
Hi, Debbie Iona, League of Women Voters of Portland. I just want to reinforce what Mr. Handelman said about the recurring audit work groups. I heard that there have been some meetings, but I don't know if I've ever seen any noticed for public participation. I used to attend the ones when they had them open to the public, and they structured them in a way where they had full discussion with the staff present and the CRC members and the public, and kind of talked about, what kind of cases should we audit next? And if we were going to audit this category of cases, what questions do we want answered through that audit? And so there were kind of broad policy discussions on the meetings that were open to the public. And then the review of the case files was done, I think, I'm pretty sure the CRC members just came in on their own time individually and reviewed the case files, and they had a check box type thing that form they filled in where they were looking for specific things. And so it was a nice hybrid in the sense that the review of the cases could be done privately, away out of the public eye, but the public could be involved and observe, kind of the considerations that were taken into account for what kind of things to look at. So be great if you guys kind of reestablish that type of a procedure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Debbie. Any other public comment? All right. Any other questions or comments from the CRC? Nope. Okay. All right. I think that's a new record for fastest meeting. We are going to adjourn here in just a moment. So just to recap, we will have a in-person meeting on December 7th. We will be in touch shortly with once we figured out a venue for that. And then our next regular CRC meeting, I believe, is January 4th. So I think big agenda items for that meeting will be checking in with the work groups, seeing where they're at, checking in with commissioners. I think obviously it probably makes sense to hold off on that until after this election cycle is finished out. And then we'll start tackling some of those priorities for 2023. All right. Thank you, everyone. This is our last public meeting of 2023. Look forward, or 2022. Look forward to seeing you all in 2023, and have a great night. This meeting is adjourned.